Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf. The Gemara that we were almost finished with yesterday is a cap off of the discussions we had regarding Shal Shus and Malava Malka yesterday. Beautiful Daf regarding the importance of Kavod Shabbos, of honoring the Shabbos, where the Gemara gave us story upon story about how important it is to both be me'aneg, to enjoy the Shabbos, and to be mechabe the Shabbos, to honor the Shabbos. I quoted the Gemara yesterday, Kavod Shabbos is what the preparation we do before Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is that which we do actually on Shabbos itself. And the Gemara speaks story upon story. And the conclusion of yesterday's daf, oddly enough, is why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And the Gemara gave various explanations in terms of why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. One of them, of course, having to do with Chilul Shabbos, because we were not that careful regarding Shabbos. We have a little bit more to go to finish up this discussion of the Gemara, and then we'll start the new Mishnah. We are somewhere towards the bottom of Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says that it was a lack of tochacha, right, that we did. Mevaza Tamid Chachamim, I think we did that one as well. So, right, Amar Yud Amar Rav, correct? Okay, it's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the middle of the line. The line begins with the words Amar Rav. Amar Yud Amar Rav, Amar Rav, my dechsev al tigubim shechavin v'yay al tareyu. The pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, we all know this pasuk, it finds its way to the pasuk in Zimra, says that don't touch my anointed ones, and don't harm my neviim. The Mashiachim are the school children, the Bnei HaYeshiva, children who are in the Beis Medrash. And the neviim are the Tamid HaChachamim. So in other words, the pasuk, the Navi, is telling us that don't disturb, don't interrupt these people. Literally, the air that comes out of the mouth of the school children, the boys learning in the yeshiva, so for that, the world sustains. Rav Papa says, but we're also learning. Like, isn't that good? Like, what makes the children learning better than you and I learning? So he says, no, it's not the same. Their learning is qualitatively better because they're learning with no chait. So in other words, that's just learning. We, unfortunately, we have chait. We're human beings. We have to. Right, so we have chait. So our learning is together with chait. So it's different. It's vastly different. So let's say we got a chance now to build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So let's get the boys from yeshiva to help us out. So he says, no, you can't. You cannot disturb the boys in yeshiva. I have the following tradition either from my ancestors, or some states from your ancestors. Any city that doesn't have a yeshiva for the boys, Tinokos over here, I don't know what age we're really talking about. Tinokos just simply means children. But in other words, you get the general idea. If your community doesn't have a yeshiva, so the community will be destroyed. Macharivin. It'll experience a charava. Ravina Amar Macharimim also. Now Ravina says it's stronger. It says Macharimim. What's the difference between Chareva versus Charema with a mem? So Rashi explains, Charema, there is no shear whatsoever, meaning it'll be totally obliterated. That's Macharimim. Macharivin, explains Rashi, there's going to be a shear, meaning the community will not be totally decimated, but it with no success. And finally, the last point the Gemara is going to make is that the Yerushalayim was destroyed because there was no longer Bnei Amana, people who were not trustworthy. Nobody trustworthy was left. Shene'emar, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu to make this point. Shotetu b'chutzos Yerushalayim v'ra'una ude'u u'bikshu b'rechov oseha. Go and see if you can find imtimtzu ish oseh mishpat mevakesh emuna. See if you can find somebody who's trustworthy. That's the challenge that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Yirmiyahu the Navi. Point being, there was nobody who was trustworthy left, and as a result of that, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Ve'aslach la. And if there is, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will forgive. Even upon the downfall of Yerushalayim, there were still trustworthy people. So the steer is obviously apparent. Now the resolution of the steer will not take place until the next Amud, because we got a lot of darshaning we're going to do before that. But in other words, clearly we see right away that there's a stira. On one hand, the statement was that there was pasku anshe emuna, there were no longer any trustworthy people, and now the argument is going to be made, yeah, there were still some left. Shenemar, and here we go to Yeshayahu, ki yisfos ish be'echa beis aviv, simla lecha katzinti elanu. I would like for you to give me your cloak and become our leader. Now, what does that mean, give me your cloak? What is that a reference to? And the Gemara goes on to explain. Dvarim shebnei adam miskasim behem kesimla, yeshnam biyadecha. Things that that we cover like a simla, you have in your hand. Meaning, basically they were looking for leadership, and they were looking for Torah leadership. So they were saying to, they pointed to a particular person who they thought had some Torah leadership qualities, and they said, can you please be the leader? So that is the simla. The simla is a reference to Torah knowledge. And you have the machshela. Now the machshela, what is that reference to? So interestingly, the machshela is also a reference to Torah. In other words, the Torah is something we stumble over. What does that mean? So the Gemara goes on to explain. We're now on the top of Kuf Chaf. Dvarim she'ein b'nei adam omdim aleim eleim ke'nechshalim. We're supposed to make mistakes when we learn Torah. Meaning it is the normal process and progress of learning that you're going to make mistakes. And it'll be a nechshal. So eleim ke'nechshalim b'hem yeshan tachas yadech. So in other words, for other people, what would be a nechshal, which is Torah, you have in your hands. And again, they're trying to commission somebody to become the Torah leader of the community. And this is towards the end of the Beis HaMikdash. So, katzin tiyeh lanu, and you'll be a leader. Yisa bayomahu, we're continuing in the Pesukim Yishayahu. So he sworn that day, leimor lo yechovesh, I will not be the leader. Ein yisa ala lashon shvua. Now the word yisa means I swear. V'chein omer lo sisa Hashem Hashem, and we know that because of this week's Parsha. Okay. I will not be the leader. I'm not somebody who imprisons myself. Meaning, I know it's a funny way to refer to it, but someone who's a Talmid Chacham imprisons himself in the Beis Medrash. Meaning he sits and spends quality years in the Beis Medrash learning in order to become a true Talmid Chacham. The Beis Medrash uveveisi ein lechem ein simla. And in my house, I don't have bread nor a garment. Shem biadilo mikra v'lo mishnah v'lo gemara. I don't know anything. I don't know chumash. I don't know mishnah. I don't know gemara. How could you possibly appoint me as a Torah leader of the Jewish people when I don't know Torah? Okay. Now, umi my damashani asam di yamar luhu gaminam rulei emalan. Now, before I start the next point of the gemara. So, what have we seen? We've seen that there are trustworthy people. Now, it's funny. Trustworthy over here means that they're ready to tell the truth, even though it doesn't make themselves look so good. People are asked to become the Torah leaders of the Jewish people, and they demurred. And the reason why they rejected the appointment is because they didn't know any Torah. And they were honest about it. So you see that there was B'nai Emuna even at the end of the period of the Beis HaMikdash, which contradicts what we said earlier, where there was no longer any B'nai Emuna. Now the Gemara says, hold on 1 second. How do you know that they were B'nai Emuna? Only my Dilmashani Hasam di Amarlohu Gamina Amarlohu Emalan. Because what are they going to argue? I do know Torah? So then when tested and asked some simple questions about Halacha, it's going to be obvious to everybody that they don't know Torah. So how can you say they're trustworthy when all they're doing is saying something, is saying the truth on something which is about to be revealed anyway? So that's not trust. So havalei meimer gamar v'shachach. Well, they could give an excuse. Yeah, we knew, but we forgot. In other words, sure I was a Talmid Chacham, but it escapes me for the moment. So my lo yechovesh klal lo kasha. I'm sorry. So my lo yek chavesh klal. When they say that I will not be a leader, it means at all, period. Meaning I am just simply in no position whatsoever to be a leader. And so you see that there was still some b'nei amana. To which the Gemara's final response is, lo kasha kam b'divrei Torah kam b'mas b'matan. Look. When it comes to Torah and people's Torah knowledge or lack thereof, so there was plenty of b'nei amana. There were trustworthy people who were more than upfront and honest about how much Torah they knew or did not know. But when it comes to maso matan, when it comes to business, people were not trustworthy. Nobody was trustworthy in business transactions. And that's what the Gemara meant earlier when said that because nobody was honest in business, so therefore the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Adkan, that ends our discussion of all the reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the larger discussion of Shalosh Shudas, Malav Amalka, Shalom Aleichem, Lecha Dodi, all the wonderful Gemaras of yesterday's daf of Kuf Yutes. We continue with today's daf. We're in the Mishnah now towards the top of Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, and we are continuing in the Mishnah Matzil and Sam Aleik Kikaros. Now, when saving food, so we learned in the previous Mishnah that you have a cap. You cannot save more than 3 meals. Okay, is it contingent on how many meals are remaining, or is it a cap of three meals regardless of when the file broke out? That was a machlokus in the previous Mishnah. But however you want to say it, there is a cap of 3 meals. How about the following? How about, let's say you have a big basket of bread. It's a huge basket, and it happens to have a ton of loaves of bread in this basket. Do I have to now start emptying out the basket so that there's only 3 meals worth of bread, or can I take out the whole basket? The Mishnah says, Matzil and Salam, Alek Ikaros, Alfa Pishiyesh Bo, Mea Se'udos. It could have 100 meals on it, it's still fine, you could take out, because it's only taking out one basket. Egel Shal Tzvela, V'chav Shal Yayin, and you could take out a big fig cake. The way they operated their figs is that they pressed it together, so it looked like this very large cake. It was a Egel Shal Tzvela. You could take that out, even though it's going to feed many people and many meals, but it's only one cake. Chavish al yain, a barrel of wine, even though it's going to make up, represent much more than 3 meals of wine. But again, it's one barrel, so that you could save. V'yomer l'achem, and furthermore, you could turn to other people and say, look, I've maxed out. The rabbis only allowed me to take out of this burning house only 3 meals worth. I've done. How about this? How about you guys go in there? And you could save some food for yourselves. Bovi yitzilu lachem. Save food for yourselves. Now, in your mind, or if you want, in your Mishnah, underline the word lachem. We're going to come back to that word a little bit later on. But bovi yitzilu lachem, go and save for yourselves. V'imayu pechin. Now, what if these people were smart? Osin imo cheshbon achar Shabbos. They can make a cheshbon with the owner of the house after Shabbos. We'll explain what that means in just a moment. So now, taking all this food, where do you take it out to? L'chatzer ha-me'urevis. So you can take it out to a chatzer, but only if the chatzer is me'urav. An eruv was created so that now you can carry from your house to the chatzer, from the chatzer to somebody else's house. So there is no violation of anything. Non issur d'oraisa, for sure. And not even an issur d'rabbanan, meaning you're totally fine. And Ben Misera, Omer Aflesh, and Mu'urav. It's not Ben Misera allows you to take it even to a chatzar or Eino Mu'urav. That would be a violation of an Issa de Rabbanan to carry something from a house to a chatzar to another chatzar with that does not have an Erev. You're transferring from a Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid. So that does comprise an Issa de Rabbanan, but Ben Misera says that's allowed. Why? Because if we don't allow the Issa de Rabbanan, he's afraid that the person's going to extinguish the fire in his house, which would be an Issa de Raisa. So basically, it's a give and take. Now, what about bowls and cups and forks and knives and spoons that you can also take out of the house as well? You're not expected to eat with your hands. Now, what about clothing? So in other words, so what have we covered so far? The beginning of the parak, we covered kitzvei kodesh. In the middle of the parak, we covered now food. And now, what about clothing? So the Mishnah says, sure, you can save your clothing. The only proviso is that you got to wear it. But as long as you wear the clothing, you can save it from the house. And the Mishnah says, as much as you can wear. Layers. You want to wear layers? So the Tanakhama says, by all means, you can even put on layers of clothing. Rav Yossi Omer Yudches Kalim, and Rav Yossi says, no, we cap it. We cap it only at 18 articles of clothing, meaning that the normal person wears 18 articles of clothing. Later on, we're going to identify all 18 of these clothing. At least we're going to... at least we're going to try to identify the 18 articles of clothing. And now, after you saved your clothing, let's say there's more clothing in the house. This only represents a fraction of my wardrobe. I got more clothing in the house. So the Mishnah says you want to go back to the house and get more clothing? By all means, you may do so. And you can even say to other people, come and save it together with me. Now you noted the discrepancy. Previously it says Bovi Tzilu Lachem, and here regarding the clothing it says Bovi Tzilu Imi. Obviously that's the discrepancy in the Mishnah. Stay tuned. We're going to come back and try to explain that discrepancy. Yes.
Why wasn't there a restriction of error for the previous Mishnah when you were stealing, when you were carrying?
We had the same debate in the previous Mishnah. Oh, it's over there. We're talking about a mavu, but the same basic idea. Mavu is also reshus yachid. It's also a private area. It's got three walls around it. There's still without an eruv, without a sheet of mavos, you're not allowed to carry. But you're right. In other words, but that's a little bit different than a chatzer. But halachically, it's still a reshus yachid. The hatan le'reishu gimel se'udos v'sulau. Now the problem is a very simple one, meaning the previous Mishnah capped it up at three meals. Here, we're allowing you to take a basket of bread, a cake of figs, a barrel of wine, even though it's got many more than three meals. Now, intuitively, I think we already all know the answer to this question, but the Gemara is going to spell it out. So, Rav Huna explains like this, look, if it's one basket, and I'm just carrying out one basket, that's fine, because regardless of how much bread is in the basket, it's one act. So the whole concern of the Chachamim were is that the more involved I get in saving things from the house, the more tempted I'm going to be to put out the fire. But if it's just one basket, even though it has hundreds of rolls, that's fine. Bala kapel, if I'm going in and getting an article of food and going out, and then I'm going back in again and I'm going out. So then that's going to be many actions. Many times I see my house going on fire. Many times I get to see the inside of my house, and it's too tempting, and I'm going to put out the fire. And that's why the Chachamim did not allow it. Good. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amarav, Idi Bevala Kapel, Lo Kasha Kan La Oso Chatzer, Kan Le Chatzer Acheres. Another resolution of the discrepancy. If you're going to your own Chatzer, so then you can take out as much as you want. If you're going to move to somebody else's Chatzer, which means more effort, more energy, and more work, so then you're capped only at three meals. Another resolution of the discrepancy between the two Mishnayos.
Question, while all of this is going on today,
yeah, so asking a non-Jew to put out the fire.
No,
right? So then...
Huh? You pick up your phone yourself.
Oh, so that, you ask your local rabbi. That involves... No, because it's a complicated issue. It involves a lot of factors, and you ask your local Orthodox rabbi. So, by Rav Huna, Bereder of Yeshua, Pirish Talis of the keep of the hineach mai, kebala hatzel dami o bevala kapel dami. All right, so let's now be a little bit smart. Meaning, we made a very clear distinction between taking out one basket that has 100 rolls in it, which we said is fine, or taking out one roll after another, where there you're capped and limited to only taking out three meals worth. So how about this? Take a tablecloth, spread it out in the house, and then fill it up. And fill it up with one roll, two roll, 100 rolls, 200 rolls. You get the basic point. And then bundle up the tablecloth, and now in one sweeping motion, you're now carrying it out outside of your house. Meaning our Mishnah is describing where you already had the basket, and the basket was already laden with rolls. But now, can I create the basket? Is essentially the question. So, Mida Amar Rava. So the Gemara says, well, let's see. Because Rava says, Atayah Rav Shizbi l'Rav Chista. You know, Rav Shizbi misled Rav Chista, Vidarish. And because Rav Chista was misled, he went out and he declared the following halacha and it was incorrect. It was not the correct halacha. It's funny, just on the top of this amud, we said that Torah is something that we stumble over, and we make mistakes over Torah, and here the Gemara on the very same daf is illustrating, yeah, we make mistakes. V'darsho v'avah shalo yavi b'li, I'm sorry, shalo yavi klishu machzik yotzer migimel se'udos. Now, do you remember just a couple of days ago we had the following scenario? There was a barrel of wine on the top of the roof and it broke. And now all that wine is pouring down the side of the roof and landing in the chatzer, and if it just falls onto the floor, it's all going to get wasted. So what did we say? You could take a barrel and you can move it right underneath the drip, so it goes ahead and it collects the drip. But do you remember we also said one barrel and that's it? You cannot bring more than one barrel. And then, on top of that, Rav Chista further qualifies, and Rav Chista says, and oh, by the way, not only are you limited and capped at one barrel, but you can only save 3 meals worth, and that's it. That's what Rav Chista says. Which is kind of strange. I think what that means would be, is that after 3 meals of worth of wine falls into the barrel, you got to move the barrel away. Okay. That's what Rav Chista said, and Rava notes, Rav Chista was misled. That's not correct. And when he says it's not correct, what is correct? You can leave the barrel over there. Now, as Rashi goes on to explain, that basically what's happening is, you have one drip of wine, another drop of wine, another drop of wine falling into the basket. Basically, what are you doing? You're bundling. So what the Gemara now is coming to the conclusion is that bundling is okay. Meaning in your house, if you lay out the tablecloth and start piling on food onto the tablecloth, and you wrap up the tablecloth, that would be fine, similar to the case of the barrel. Now the analogy between the two cases is not really a perfect analogy, and I don't really have a resolution to this, but I am raising awareness that the analogy is not a great analogy, in that in the case of the barrel, it's just one act of putting the barrel under the dripping wine. I'm not doing anything else. In the case of bundling in my house, obviously, it's going to require a lot of effort and expenditure of energy to get all the loaves, the bread, all the food into that one tablecloth. So the analogy is not perfect, but the Gemara feels it's good enough. So the Gemara says it's fine. You're allowed to do that. Now, how exactly was Rav Chista misled? Meaning the only prohibition is to bring another kli. But with this one kli that I brought, regardless of how much wine it actually collects, you can go ahead and you can collect, and you're not limited and you're not capped at 3 meals worth. Okay, good. Two dots, we continue in the Gemara, right in the middle of the Amud. Now, remember, you saved all the food that you can from your house. So I turn to my friend and I say to my friend, hey, could you help me out? Could you yourself help me save some food? And what did the Mishnah say? Well, if afterwards we want to make a cheshbon, go ahead, make a cheshbon. Now, the Gemara says, make a cheshbon. I don't understand. What am I saving? It's no longer your food. Your house is on fire. And you're only allowed to save 3 meals worth. So the food really belongs to nobody. So when I go in and I save, can't I make now the claim? It's mine? Belongs to me. Now I know that normally on Shabbos we're not into kinyanim, right? We don't make transactions. So, but over here though, there's no real transaction that's occurring, meaning it's ownerless, and I just simply am taking it from Hefker. Now, can I make something Hefker on Shabbos? That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You can't make things.
But here in this case, however, it is right. I was going to make that point. Phil beat me to the punch. Don't apologize. Here, it becomes Efker on its own, so it's not exactly the same. So Rav Chista said, well, the people that you're asking are Chassidim. Okay, so you go to your local Chassid, And you understand. The Gemara is not speaking sociologically. The Gemara is talking, in his mannerisms. And you say, look, I have no entitlement to the food that's remaining in the house. I understand that. But if you'd like to be a nice guy and go above the letter of the law and be extraordinarily ethical and save the food, whatever you can save, and then after Shabbos, give me the food and wink, wink, I'll even pay you for your time, effort, and energy. So Amar Rava. So Rava says that's very strange. Meaning we're talking about Hasidim, very pious individuals. Chassidi Akra de Shabbos Shagle. Yeah, but they're going to ask you then to be paid for working on Shabbos. This is a topic called Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos is a general idea that you're not allowed to get paid for working on Shabbos, and I don't mean malacha. I mean just simple services provided. Babysitting, blowing the shofar, being a chazan. Yes, I realize I'm touching now on controversial issues because a lot of people get paid for those types of actions on Shabbos. Now, there are ways to circumvent the issue of Schar Shabbos, but without getting too involved, just let's say it simply. You can't work for somebody on Shabbos and get paid for services provided on Shabbos. That's called Schar Shabbos. So here I'm essentially asking people, hey, look, could you go into my house and collect food, which I'm not allowed to collect, and I'll pay you for those services. If you're a chassid, and you don't even have to be a chassid for this, if you're just a regular Jew who observes Torah and mitzvos, you're not going to accept Schar Shabbos. So Rav is downgrades. We're not talking about a chassid, we're just talking about a regular Yari Shamayim, God-fearing individual. So look, on one hand, it's not my food. I'm taking advantage of somebody else. That's not my food. So I'm not gonna keep it for myself. On the other hand, look, I'm really gonna spend so much energy and effort for something that doesn't belong to me. I'm not going to keep it, but at the same time, I don't want to put all this effort in and not get reimbursed for my time. And here pikeach means the following. Now that we're smart in terms of business, but we're smart in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, and we know that this is not a violation of Schar Shabbos. Oh, this got me interested. Meaning, this is not going to be a violation of Schar Shabbos. Why is this not a violation of Schar Shabbos? Meaning, I'm paying somebody for services provided. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "V'chinam nami lo nichalei delitrach." Next Rashi. "V'hachi kamar" is the second wide line of Rashi. Towards the bottom of the Amun. Klomer. Dahayim ayu pichin demasdis alav pichin medin kamar litol sarai lahem dim ken yakvu akol havel elamisne. Meaning, if they knew business law, they would know that this is hefker and I could keep it. That's not what we mean by pikeach. Ela lav hachi kamar hani yirei shamayim im pichin hein beuchas Shabbos. What it means is that they're proficient and knowledgeable about the laws of Shabbos. Di yode dechi haygavna lav schar Shabbos hu. This is not a violation of Schar Shabbos. Now listen carefully, as I myself also am going to try to figure out what Rashi is teaching us. Demi'ikara lav adaiti deschar pu'ula nachis. Because when we were originally commissioned to do this job, we were not originally commissioned for pay. Meaning the pay is a totsa'a. It's the result of what we're doing, but in other words, there was no contractual agreement made between the two parties. Schar Shabbos is only going to be a violation, at least this is my understanding of Rashi, and by all means, you can absolutely disagree. But Schar Shabbos is when there's a contractual agreement made between two parties, where basically I say to you, look, I know I'm going out tonight, it's Friday night, can you stay home and can you watch my kids and I will pay you. That will be a violation of Schar Shabbos. If, however, there were services rendered from one to another, and if without any agreement in terms of money being paid, and if after Shabbos I then come along and say, look, thanks so much, I really appreciate it, and here, let me pay you, that will not be a violation of Schar Shabbos. Okay. Why such a distinction exists?
Maybe it's not a Schar.
Something like that. I'm not... I'm not 100% sure. I don't know how to articulate why that difference exists, but that's the way Rashi seems to present it, and hopefully...
Correct.
But since we didn't agree, the two parties did not agree to this beforehand, so therefore it does not violate this prohibition of what's called Schar Shabbos. And I think I could say this pretty flatly, pretty clearly. The Isser Schar Shabbos is not an Isser Daraisa. Meaning, what malacha are you violating by making a contractual agreement to get paid? Okay. Let's go on in the Gemara. Ulehechan Matzilin. Now, right, yes. Lehechan Matzilin, beginning of the line, two-thirds of the way down on the Amud, Ma'ishnah hacha dektani lachem, Ma'ishnah hacha dektani imi. The Gemara now notes the discrepancy in the Mishnah, which I pointed out when we learned the Mishnah together. Amri gabe mezonos ketani lachem, mishum delo kachazu, elamazim gemel seudos. And the answer is very simple. Because when it comes to food, you're capped. You can only take out three meals worth. So now, anything after that really doesn't belong to you. So when you say to somebody else, hey, could you save, you can't say the word my food. It's not really mine anymore. So therefore, the lashon is bovi hitzilu lachem. But avagabe levushim ketani imi mishum dekachaz ole lekul yoma. But when it comes to clothing, as the Mishnah says, you can go into the house, get your clothing, you can come out. Later on, you can, if you want, you can go back in, you can get more clothing. There is no cap regarding clothing. Just as an interesting note, by the way, it's clear, and the Gemara doesn't explain why, that there's an obvious difference between food and clothing. When it comes to food, you're capped. When it comes to clothing, I know Rav Yossi disagrees with this point, but we go like the Tanakhama, there's no cap, there's no limit to the amount of clothing that you can save from your house. The only issue is, how do you get it out of the house? You have to wear it out of the house, you can't carry it out of the house. But short of that, however, you can go back in and get as much clothing as you want. Why such a distinction exists, so the Gemara doesn't really articulate.
Well, because you can't wear as many clothes. You can change every hour, I can change my clothes. For the food, it limited three suitors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Right. I mean, all the clothing potentially... Okay. Tanu Rabbanan lo v'shemotzi uposhe v'chozer v'lo v'shemotzi uposhe afilu kol hayom kulo divrei Rabbi Meir. The opinion of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah is, that which is the Tanakam of our Mishnah, you can go back in and you can get as much clothing as you want. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shmona Asar Kelim Ve'elohein. Now Rabbi Yossi says, oh no, only 18 articles of clothing, because that's what a person normally wears, 18 articles of clothing, and Ve'elohein Shmona Asar Kelim. And these are the 18 articles of clothing. Now here's what I'm going to do, okay, and you'll forgive me. But I'm going to read the next lines of Gemara. I'm not going to do much in terms of translation. Meaning, because really to understand this, you have to know fashion of the 5th and 6th century. And the Mishnayos. And I don't know that particularly well. So, yeah, pictures over there? Okay. Anyway, Makteran un kuli upunda kalva shalpishan v'chalak v'apelos u'ma'aforez u'shnei sapirkan u'shnei man'alin u'shnei anpolios u'beis pargad v'chagor shebemasnav v'koveh shebarosha v'suda shebetzavaro. I know the koveh is the hat. That much I can help you with. The sudar is the scarf. Okay, but...
Shoes,
socks... breeches, okay, whatever. Yeah. Look, I'll be even further honest with you. I looked it all up. I even wrote it in my Gemara what all these things mean. But still, like, in other words, you really have to know what fashion is in order to understand. We start with the next Mishnah. Now, obviously, the entire context of our perek is that you can't put out the fire. Correct? Right. Meaning, lengthy discussions of saving food, saving clothing, saving kisvei kodesh, but you can't put out the fire. And for the reason which is that putting out the fire is a malacha. That's kivu. It's one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos. How about this? Let's not talk about putting out the fire, but how about stopping the path of the fire? Just in other words, preventing the fire from spreading any further. Is that okay? So let's take a look at this Mishnah. A very interesting discussion coming up right now about not kivui, but gram kivui, the causation of the passive causation of preventing the spread of the fire. Rabbi Shimon ben Anan saw my person or shall gedi al gabi shida teva omigdal. Well, let's say you got a chest, a wooden chest, and you really would prefer if the fire doesn't spread to the chest. So what you could do is you could take a hide of a goat and lay it on top. Okay? Now, I know that we are very sophisticated in terms of our fire prevention, and so we have material that is not flammable. So back in the good old days, the closest thing they had to that was a hide of a goat. Rashi says that actually it was moist, right? Rashi says that in one word. And so therefore, if you spread it over the chest, so there's a good chance that you're going to prevent the fire from spreading to the chest. That's tidbit number one of the Mishnah. The umigdal she'achaz, I'm sorry, shiratev umigdal she'achaz b'matzah or mimnei shuhu mecharech. Because what it does is it singes, but in other words, it will not catch fire, and you have a chance now of preventing your chest from catching fire. And you can make a wall. In other words, you can make a wall in your house to prevent the fire from spreading in the house. And what can you use to make this wall? You could use any kli that you want. And even if the kli is filled with water, that would also be fine. Now let's envision what's going to happen. The fire is going to spread. It's going to now meet this wall that you created, and these kalim are now filled with water. Eventually what's going to happen due to the heat of the fire is that the kalim are going to break. And then what's going to happen, of course, is that the water is going to come and perhaps douse the fire. So you are now basically extinguishing the fire, but not directly, indirectly. Gram kivui, and it sounds like from the Tanakhama this would be fine.
Were the water in the cave? The water was already
there. Sounds like it's okay.
No, it sounds like it was there. Whether it's
okay.
I'm not
sure. So, Bain Rikanim B'Shur Shalot Tavor Adalaika. Rabbi Yossi Oseh B'Kli Cheres Chadashim Aleim Mayim Lefi Shein Yecholim L'Kabos Or Vein Mizbakim U'Machabnes Adalaika. And Rabbi Yossi says no, meaning to use new jugs. Now, new jugs, they were just made. They're still delicate. And I fill it with water and I put it in front of the fire. Rav Yossi says, you know what's going to happen. You know it's going to break due to the heat of the fire. And you know then that you're going to be putting out the fire. And Rav Yossi says, you cannot do that because, as the Gemara will tell us on Amud Beis, Rav Yossi does not agree to Gram Kivui.
Okay.
The Gemara is going to make that point as well. I'm Rav Yudah, I'm Rav Talashach, Hezbao, or Mitzadech, Anosin, Alam, Mayim, Mitzadacher. Vim kafta kafta. So Rav Yehuda Merav tells us that if your garment catches fire, so what you can do is you can put water on the other side of the garment so that when the fire spreads, the fire will go out. Once again, a discussion of Gram Kivui. Now, it's funny, the Gemara ignores, it's not the right word, but leaves out, conspicuously absent of this Gemara over here is another issue, which is putting water on your garment. Putting water on your garment, that's laundering. That's another malacha on Shabbos. Tosos over here writes, Pirish Rashbam, it's the last Tosos on the summer, there are only two. Lav dafka ala talis, da hakamalam beperek damachatas, debebege shriyasazu kivuso. That you're not allowed to put water on a garment. That is already the laundering process, and that will be prohibited. Right? Often the mistake is made on Shabbos, where you have a little stain that falls on your garment. So it's human nature. We're all hardwired this way. You're going to want to put a little water over there to try to get out the stain. Now during the week, it's great. On Shabbos, you can't do that because that is the beginning of the kibbutz process, and you're not allowed to do that. You wear that stain with pride. Okay, at least I do. But then the Gemara also taught me just a couple short days ago that a Talmud Chacham cannot go out with a stain on his garment. But I'm okay with that because of other issues. So I don't. In other words, I understand what the Rashbam's issue is with our Gemara over here. So, but what does he mean? He says, "Perish Rashbam lav dafka ala talis." No, you don't put the water on the talis. What does that mean? You put it next to the talus? I'm not sure. I don't have a good visual picture of what exactly the Rashbam is instructing us to do in terms of the water. The simple pshat of our Gemara is that you put the water on the talus. But, other liquids that don't launder. Right? Right.
No, but I think the other liquids cause a stain, though. You know, you make a stain as well.
Then you're dying it.
Right. Okay. The Argamar says water. So, okay. Meisve, the Gemara challenges, we're now in the bottom of the Amatal Shachas Ba'or Mitarechad Poshom is Kaseh Ba, Vim Kavta Kavta. So, V'chein Sefer Torah Shachas Ba'or Poshom V'kori Bo, Vim Kava Kava. So we have a Braisa, and the Braisa sounds like that if your talis catches fire, so you take it off, and you cover, and if the fire goes out, so the fire will go out. So the Gemara says, Udama Krabi Shema Menanas. So the Gemara says, you're right, but you have to understand that the author of that Braisa is Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. The Rabbi Shimon ben Anas allows you to actually extinguish the fire, meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Anas was the one who advised us in the Mishnah that you can actually spread the hide of the goat on the chest in order so that the fire goes out. So the Gemara says, slow down. No. In other words, all that's doing is it's absorbing some of the fire, it singes, it burns, it prevents the fire from spreading. But he's not telling you that you're actually allowed to put out the fire. So, in the Gemara says, no, I disagree. He allows you to actually put out the fire indirectly. Because look, Rav Yossi prohibits it. So, and obviously Rav Yossi is arguing with the Tanakhama. So if Rav Yossi is prohibiting it, that means the Tanakhama is allowing it. The Tanakhama is Shari. Okay, so in other words, the Gemara feels that no, this is in fact the correct pshat within Rav Shimon ben Anas, that indirect extinguishing of the fire is permitted, which is basically the same point that we made earlier, that indirect extinguish of the fire is in fact permitted. Other examples of indirect extinguishing of the fire. Let's say you have a lamp on top of your table and you want to take the lamp off the table. Now you can't handle the lamp itself. That lamp is muksa. Okay? So what you could do is you could shake the table and the lamp will fall off. Now, from a point of prudency, I would not recommend. Sounds like this is a great way to start a fire. Okay, so I guess the Gemara is here describing a scenario where, for whatever reason, it's not a concern. Nothing else will catch fire. Okay, but however, there are a lot of halachic points to consider over here. So, So the first point which to consider is, isn't there a good chance that you're going to extinguish the fire? Yes. And it's okay, because it's indirect. That wasn't my intent. I just knocked it off the table. If it goes out, it goes out. That's called Garam Kivui. That's fine. Amri Debe Raviana Loshana Labishocheach. Yeah. I'm sorry, maybe if you can ask somebody to open the doors to... Right, one of the custodians to open the door. They're going to have the 8 o'clock minion over here. But that's at 8 o'clock. We have some time. I'm sorry. So that's one issue. The first issue is that of putting out the fire, but that's fine because you're doing it indirectly. The second issue is the issue of muksa. Now, as we pointed out, I'm not actually going to pick up the lamp because I can't because it's muksa. However, I am doing. And the other issue is the issue of basis, meaning when I put the lamp down on the table now is the base for the lamp. Now we've learned this already before in Hilchos Muksa that when I have a base for a Davar Muksa, the base is also Muksa. How can I move the table to move the lamp when the table itself now is also Muksa as well? Doesn't matter. In fact, not only does it not matter, that's when you make it a basis, you make it before Shabbos. And the Gemara makes its point as well. If I left the candle on the table and my intention was not to place it over there, then the table does not become a base. But if I intentionally leave the candle on the table with the intent of it being there, So then that table now becomes a basel sadavar aser, and not only can I not move the lamp, I can't move the table as well. Now if there are other things on the table, like challah, so then obviously that's a basel sadavar aser, ula davar hamutter, but that's not what we're talking about. Tana ner shachari hadalas posech. Right. Ner shed achari hadalas posech v'noel kedarko v'im kavta kavta. Now we learned in a braisa that if, let's say, the candle's right behind the door and I open the door and the candle's going to go out, again, fine. It's fine. Now, la'ayta la Rav. Now, Rav was not happy with this last ruling that we just quoted. Amalei Ravina la Rav Achi, Berei de Rav Avamrilei Rav Achi, Berei de Rav la Rav Ashi, my taima, la'ayta la Rav. Now, why did Rav curse this braisa? And it may be because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Rav meaning, Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Braisa holds like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't make a lot of sense. Mishum derav sava like Rabbi Yehuda called the Tanika Rabbi Shimon mela layitle. So that means, anytime you have a brisa that takes on the position of Rabbi Shimon, Rav is going to start cursing the brisa. Rabbi Shimon is a very tenable position. Let's go even one step further. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So it can't be that Rav is going to curse the brisa just because it's going like Rabbi Shimon. So Amalei ba'afil Rabbi Shimon moda da'abai v'rav adami tavai moda Rabbi Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yamos. So the Gemara says this is a psik reisha, meaning even though it's a davar she'eino miskavein, it's a non-intended act. I didn't really intend on putting out the fire. All I want to do is just open the door. But because this is going to yield an automatic result, and not just an automatic result, but an immediate automatic result, this is what's called the psik reisha, tantamount to the cutting off of the head of the chicken, where automatically, immediately, the chicken's going to die. And so therefore, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's therefore going to be prohibited.
But it didn't get any benefit.
So that's the psik reisha de lo nichale. Right, that goes back to Tosus' discussion that we had not that long ago. Rav Yehuda, no, I didn't give you a straight answer. I'm Rav Yehuda Posech Adam Delas Keneged Madura B'Shabbos. So Rav Yehuda says that you're allowed to open the door against the fire on Shabbos. Light Allah Baye B'Maiskin and Ilay Mabruch Mitsuya My Time Daman Da Aser. Now, if we're talking about a normal wind, why should it be prohibited? And Ibaruch Shana Mutsuya, then if it's an abnormal wind, My Time Daman Da Shari, why should it be permitted? Olam Baruch Mitsuya, Marsava Gazrina, Marsava Lo Gazrina. It is a regular wind. It's really not going to put out the Madura. The question is, did the rabbis make such a gzera because of the unusual wind? And that's the debate over here, and that's why there is a subject to a machlokes. Okay, we'll stop over here. So once again, we finished the discussion of why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Gemara gave various explanations. We talked about taking out one basket filled with 100 loaves.
We had a few million room changes.
Danny.
5 million today.
Danny.
We'll be in
just put your
seven downstairs.
Okay. We thank you. Sorry, Shimon. So, and we then talked about taking out one basket filled with 100 loaves. We talked about the ability of bundling. We spoke about Gram Kivui indirectly putting out the fire, and to which the Mishnah brings a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi. Tanakama allows, Rav Yossi prohibits, and the halacha is like the Tanakama. And we'll continue tomorrow, right in the middle of the Yom, and the two dots.